Hello, and thank you for listening to episode 11 of 60 Minutes With. I'm Dave, and once again I'm going to be joined by Chris in an interview show. And in this episode we're going to be chatting to Anthony and Nicola Caulfield, who you may well recall that Chris waxed lyrical about the documentary that they made From Bedrooms to Billions in the last episode. We were going to spend this episode concentrating on that documentary, but because a mixture of a few things, Anthony and Nicola have been so busy recently, and especially so with the Amiga Years, which is the new project that they're raising funds for, that we thought what we would spend this episode talking about the Amiga Years, and then Anthony and Nicola have kindly agreed to come back and we'll have another episode, probably after the Amiga Years fundraising has finished, where we can catch up on what's happened with that, and then we can delve deeper into the From Bedrooms to Billions documentary. I will also say that by the time you listen to this, or not long afterwards, there will also be a written review of From Bedrooms to Billions by Chris up on the website too, so make sure to visit that. I'll give all the details about how you can go to our website, how you can go to the fundraising for the Amiga Years. All that will be after the talk that we've had. So please sit back and get comfortable as myself and Chris chat with Anthony and Nicola. Now, there are a few little sound issues. Anthony and Nicola were at the end of a very long day, and bless them, they were stressed out. So there's a few little sound issues as we go along, but that doesn't detract from everything they've got to say. There's some great stories. We do go off in a few little tangents now and again, as we do, but I'm sure you're going to have a great time listening to this. So sit back and get comfortable, and here we go. Right, Anthony, Nicola, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's a real treat for us to have a chat with you.
Hello there. Thanks for having us on.
It's a pleasure. Now, what we're going to talk about, we're going to concentrate on this. We're going to have a two-parter with you. And in this first part, we want to concentrate on the Amiga documentary that you announced not too long ago. And you're currently doing the fundraising for it now, aren't you?
That's right.
That's absolutely correct, yes.
So please tell us all about this.
Well, it's kind of a sequel, I don't know, or a part two, or something like that. It's probably more Superman 2 than Highlander 2. But it's called From Bedrooms to Billions, the Amiga Years, and for people that have seen the original From Bedrooms to Billions, there's a section, once we sort of reached the sort of late 1980s, we always felt, being huge fans of the Commodore Amiga ourselves, that we had to sort of step over, we stepped over the Amiga in a certain respect, not that we didn't reference it, but we felt in the overall story of the British games industry, we sort of talked about it as how it stood in that industry, but we didn't go into how fantastic a machine it was, and because simply for running time it was impossible to sort of go into it in the sort of depth that we wanted to. So this film allows us to tell an independent story on the Amiga, how it came about, the story of how it came about, but also how it then went on to impact the games industry and the worldwide games industry, not just the British games industry this time. Twice they tried to speak then I spoke over it.
I mean, because the Amiga was such a great machine, and now I had the 500 and the 1200, and it was the first computer that I went online with as well. You know, before the internet as we know it, I was just like accessing bulletin boards, and I loved my Amiga.
Do you know, that's one of the things I think that a lot of people remember, though there were a lot of users that used the Spectrum, Commodore 64, Amstrad, BBC. When the 16 bits came along, and specifically the Amiga, it was also that sort of community spirit. It was sort of the ante got upped very much so suddenly the depth of games, because the early games that started to appear on the Amiga, a lot of them were just effectively 8-bit upgrades almost. It was still, the game design was very much 8-bit, and it was just like a sort of a shiny version. And then it was sort of, there was a period where, I'm not suggesting that every developer was doing that, but there was a sort of an attitude of sort of knock out an Amiga and ST version, and often, certainly the early Amiga games were effectively, I'm going to get shot by ST fans here, but were effectively clones of the ST. So the Amiga version was always developed to almost be in line with the ST, and there was a period where suddenly developers started to really grasp the power of the Amiga and started to make games specifically for the Amiga, so then there'd be cut down 8-bit versions, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You obviously, you know, I want to say I've been looking forward to this all week, but thank you so much for From Bedrooms to Billions. You know, it's you've combined two of my favourite kind of mediums, entertainment mediums, in terms of like films and video games, and this the range of emotions I had watching it was just incredible. And I know we're going to talk about that another time, but I genuinely get a lump in my throat. I've watched it twice now at the end, just before the credits start to roll, and they're talking, you know, you're talking about being pioneers. It's wonderful, and I tell everybody who was willing to listen to me, they're fed up with me talking about it, about, you know, sort of how amazing it is and how it's essential, really. You know, it honestly is, and I'm so looking forward to the Amiga follow-up, because I've backed that on Kickstarter. And I mean, one of the questions I wanted to talk about, I was a massive fan of the Amiga. I had one back in the day. I used to play Kickoff 2, Speedball 2, all these amazing games with my friends. They were incredible. I mean, so you interviewed a lot of the publishers and developers of games in From Bedrooms to Billions, and one of my favourite publishers and developers was CinemaWare. You know, some amazing games like Wings, It Came from the Desert, all that kind of stuff. So have you got any kind of people that you didn't get around to talking to in the first film that you were looking to talk to in the second one, that focused purely on sort of what Amiga games as such, or 16-bit games?
Well, the answer is yes, in the respect of we are, as far as we're concerned, this is a new film. And while there is obviously a temptation, well, there might be a need in a certain couple of cases to use unused footage from the original shoot, because obviously we have picked up a huge number of interviewees and some people just might not be available again, and any footage that we do put in that we've already shot would be unused. We'd never put in any footage that's been used in the initial film.
Yeah, nothing's going to be repeated at all.
But we're going to go and shoot a whole new flock of interviews, so that's what we're obviously providing we get funded, and the idea is through spring and summer we're going to be shooting a great deal of interviews, and obviously a lot, and the idea is obviously to focus on a lot of those great worldwide developers. I mean, obviously in From Bedrooms to Billions we have Mark Kearney, and as he himself said to us, I was your token American. that's the thing, we're going to be going in with, you know, developer of Another World, Flashback, CinemaWare, Lucasfilm. I mean, the list goes on of who we're contacting. I mean, some of them are backers on the original From Bedrooms to Billions, would you believe it?
Well, so. I mean, and we also will be looking at other machines as well. It won't just be the Amiga. We will talk about the others. We will reference the Atari ST as well. So it's kind of like where we couldn't go. When we got to the 16-bit in the film, we were like, if we did go off and go into a huge amount of detail, the film would have probably been about 10 hours long, and it's hard enough cutting it down as it was. So we always thought we really wanted to be able to do a standalone film where we could really do it justice, you know, and that's why I thought if we can do 90 minutes on this, we'll give it that touch, I think.
You see, the thing is, we had a working title for a while at the end of last year when we were, you know, people think we've got this grand plan of like this trilogy of films and we sort of know what the third, you know, the Stampy is or something. I don't, you know, but this sort of thing. But that's not true. It's with From Bedrooms to Billions. It was certainly from about last April and May. The film started to drastically take shape, and it became very apparent. We used to have these arguments all the time where we would nothing violent, but where we basically say, "But is it critical to the overall story? Does it actually make a difference? Does the Koenigs Master System make a difference to the overall story?" So we had all these footnotes and all these notes that we felt that we wanted to include, and that included, of course, the Amiga and the Atari ST, Archimedes, and other machines. So we sort of felt that once we sort of got to the point where we had a rough cut of From Bedrooms, we sort of thought, there's huge potential to do. An Amiga film. However, the working title was the 16-bit years. But the problem is, if we'd even looked at it being called the 16-bit years, where do you stop? Because you've got the Mega Drive, the SNES, you know, you've got, and people would then be expecting it to be this sort of huge expansion of the of other 16-bit platforms as well. But we didn't want to do that. We wanted to focus on programmable computing, because the Amiga was I know you have the PC afterwards, but during as well. It was the last true cheap programmable computer that was accessible to the masses, where you really could get that sort of power. And I know there were different versions of the Amiga, obviously, but if you think about it, for a couple of hundred quid, a couple of hundred pounds, you could get yourself an A500. But the PC, when that started to fall away, the option then for programmable computing was the PC, which you were looking at £1,000 plus. So the Amiga was that sort of, in a way, that's certainly from ourselves being from the UK perspective, was that sort of spiritual successor from the Spectrum and the Commodore 64, where you could just go down to Rumbelows and pick up a programmable computer, and in this case with the Amiga, with immense power, and really, and though it was, I was talking to Sean Southern actually on the phone last night, and we were talking about how so many developers will say, that's the beginning of the team-based strategy for game development, which is very true. Sean and Magnetic Fields are actually still a tiny two-person team, you know, so they actually still sort of maintained it. And same with Jeff Minter and others. But we feel that with the Amiga, which hence that Amiga era, which, yes, does include the ST to a certain extent, and we're not going to step over it, still showed where there was this amazing innovation with these amazing computers, and how the games industry really upped their game to take advantage of this machine. And probably, arguably, and we'll find this out when we make the film, because we don't have all the answers. You know, that's the idea of making a documentary. You do all the interviews and you start to learn as you're making the film.
Well, we found that with From Bedroom Civilians, that when we were interviewing people, there were certain things we didn't know, and then other people would be saying the same thing. So there's all these different stories that we went off on purely as we were doing more and more interviews. So we're kind of hoping again that will happen when we start filming people for the Amiga years.
You see, we have a perception of the demo scene. We have a perception of the journalists. We have a perception of development, right? Which, you know, we all have an understanding of, to a certain, if we're fans of the Amiga, we've got that understanding because we experienced it and everything else. But until you actually start sitting down and having 2-hour interviews with people, and then you do 1, 2, 10, 20, and you start to build them up, you then start to hear common things, regular references to people and things, and then you suddenly have to go and seek those people out, and then you start to get a real picture. And the film starts to take shape. So we are in a funny position, because we're in the position that we were almost before we started From Bedrooms to Billions. We're trying to get funded, and then we start picking out interviewees that we want to approach, and then do those interviews, and then that leads on to other tangents and other things. But we don't want to take 2.5 years to make it this time. And we should do, because we've got a lot of interviews already in the can, and we learnt a hell of a lot, you see, while we were, you know, when you were sitting down with Peter Molyneux, for example. You know, that was a 3-hour interview, and we covered his entire life. So that was the same with a lot of people. So that included the Amiga era. So we do have a lot of that already, when we were making From Bedrooms to Billions, where we made notes and had an understanding. But we also now know who else we want to go and speak to make it a really complete film. Mm-hmm. And we want to leave some surprises in there. I mean, one of the things that people have said to us about the original film is that, and one of the reasons why we never really gave away who's in it until it came out, was we wanted to have a little bit of a surprise when people are sitting there and people keep popping up every, oh, him, oh, her, oh, him. More him, but that was the thing. It was to try and create, you know, we are trying to entertain as well, and keep a few names back, so there's some surprises. There was a couple of names in the original film that we were, you know, very much wanting to get, but
yeah,
it's...
Yeah, some escaped us.
Yeah, but they won't escape this time.
No, we did keep trying, yeah. And we, I think we're going to aim to have it told again by the people as we're doing the interviews. I think we're, at this stage, not aiming to have a voiceover on there, are we? We want it to be very much by the people that lived through that era once more, because we think that works really nicely.
You see, we put a voiceover through it, then it's our... voice, it's our, you know, we write the voiceover. You know, it could be any, you know, it could be sort of a fantastic voiceover artist, like, you know, Daniel Craig or someone like that, somebody amazing. And you think, oh, great, but I don't know, we did originally have an intention for Bedrooms to Billions to do a voiceover, and then it just became the ensemble approach, which is extremely difficult, certainly to keep pacing going. just seemed to be a natural fit, because we thought, what better way than to actually have the voices of the people that actually live through it guiding the viewer through? So we certainly, it steered us well away. We have done documentaries in the past with voiceovers, you know, and they do work in that respect. But we sort of felt that by going with, again, a narrator all the way through, then we're just doing something that will be done on television. And yeah, we've got the ability with crowdfunding to give the audience really what we feel that we would like them to have, rather than what a broadcaster tells us they've got to have.
I think that works incredibly. No, I was just going to say that. Sorry, that it works incredibly well. And I think, you know, who am I to tell you what to do? But that is, I think that would be incredible. You know, just to sort of let them tell their story. And like you said, it must be so much work cutting all that together and keeping a sort of cogent story and a common thread, but then a link to the next particular story. That must be so much work.
Well, what we did was we created probably about 30, 40 different timelines with different topics on. But then each of them, like in our edit system, so each timeline that we have probably had, for each sequence, I'd say about 3-4 hours of material.
Wow.
you're just trying to cut that down to maybe 10, 15 minutes, and it's incredibly difficult. And that's what took us, you know, that took us the most time, I think, trying to cut it down and make sure that we're trying to get everyone in there.
Yeah.
And that. So, yeah, it's very difficult. Good fun. And it's nice to see now at the end of it how it's come out and that everyone seems to be really enjoying it.
We had a strict rule, actually, was that as the voices are guiding people through, there isn't one voice that repeats something that's already been said. So the idea is that what happens, somebody always said something and then the next voice backs up what they said with an example, and then we move on to something else. And that was a pattern we started to follow unintentionally. We suddenly started to discover, once you start cutting up, you know, when people are talking about the type in listings, for example, you know, we found that, oh, you know, as great as some of the quotes were, they were all saying the same thing. So then we started to realize, take out everything where they're repeating the same information and make it so that it's the next piece of information and the next piece of information. And suddenly we started to find that approach was working, though it was very, very difficult. I'm just going to open a window in here, actually.
How long did the editing process take then to do all of that?
About 18 months.
Yeah, I mean, we were editing as we went along. What we would do is get transcripts done.
2 years, actually, I would say.
Yeah. So, and you'd go along and you think, okay, that's working very well, but we're not covering this particular topic. So kind of as we went, we knew that as we were doing different interviews, we would make sure that certain topics were covered, so we had saying certain things, because when it came to typing listings, we had so much of that, didn't we?
Yeah, there wasn't one element.
We stopped asking that question.
There wasn't a single element of the entire production for Register of Villains that was simple. There was nothing simple. Mm. Everything, every single bit, even the mastering of the DVDs and Blu-rays was unbelievable. I'm not saying that in respect of it was horrible. I don't mean that. I just mean it was hard work. There's a big difference, you know, you feel sort of fulfilled doing hard work. And we sort of felt that so many people had backed us and wanted us to do a good job. You know, we did take a bit longer than we originally said, but we always made it very clear that because we got a lot more funding than we originally intended, that we were going to put it to use. And we gave everyone an extra hour. So everybody got a 2.5 hour film instead of a 90-minute film. Mm. And we did that because that's what we wanted to watch. So it really was, there wasn't really a lot of sitting down going, ha ha ha, you know, we can do this and got the business plan or something like that. It was, this is the best. We didn't want to go over 2.5 hours, and we really actually wanted to make it 2 hours. It just became impossible. And we've strayed onto the original from Bridge of Civilians, and we've not talked about the Amiga barely at all, have we?
So have you got some sort of time schedule where you want to get the finished product out for the Amiga years?
Yeah, the Amiga, we want the Amiga years out for January 2016.
Okay.
We're planning to do all the filming around the same time, between May and August this year, this time, and then go into post-production and not do any more interviews, unless something major crops up. But the idea would be to... I mean, that is actually quite normal in film production. Whereas in For Bedroom Civilians, it literally was a clump of filming, editing, clump of filming, more editing. And probably we had about 12 separate clumps of filming over 2 years, because we had to continually find more information. It was because there was no book. There was no... While you have publications like Retro Gamer, which is in bits and pieces, there was no sort of like definitive book that we could rip off. Not saying that we would have ripped it off if we found a book, but there wasn't that information. Yeah.
Rather than rip off. Yeah. Rip off, sir.
what I mean is that there was nowhere really where this information was all in people's heads and in their experiences. So we had to film continuously. Is that the right word? Yeah.
But also, a lot of the people that we interviewed for From Bedrooms, they hadn't been interviewed before. So it's kind of like you sat there and it'd be 2-3 hours of them just going through everything. It was so interesting sitting with them and that. But yeah, the interviews were very, very long as well. I mean, we have so much footage.
For the Amiga years, I would want it to be that when people are sitting there watching the section where we're covering the demo scene, they're loving it. They're feeling as if they're right back there 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And they're seeing, hearing, and experiencing and feeling right, and they're being guided through by some of the top sceners. And then they feel, wow, what a great section. That's a killer section in the film. And that's the sort of thing we want to do with the Amiga years ago. And we've also talked about, we've had this idea about doing some hands-on sequences. So rather than it just being one talking head onto another talking head with archive over the top, and the archive stills and photos and video really help immerse you into that sort of nostalgia and everything else. But we're talking about doing some hands-on bits where we actually do some... I don't want to use the word recreation, that's not correct, where we see some actor with sort of an 80s hairstyle, you know, short and sharp.
It won't be anything like
that. No, I mean where we actually might have something where a modern interviewee today describes how certain drivers worked or an assembler worked or certain things like that. Whether it goes in the main movie, I don't know. It might be as an extra or something. But we sort of felt that we wanted those bits where... Because we did some stuff with Archer MacLean, didn't we? Which we've never even really...
Yeah.
Where he was trying to program a ZX81 for the From Bedrooms to Billions.
But if we'd have done that with From Bedrooms, you know, you don't want to just have one kind of hands-on sequence. You have to keep that throughout the whole film. It would have just seemed strange to pop one in there.
Yeah.
But we quite like them sequences that we were doing. So we've been toying with the idea of maybe putting some of those into new ones that we'd create into the Amiga years. But
Chris Holzbeck doing a, you know, recreating how to make music on the Amiga and certain tricks and you know, certain other things like that.
Programming on the Amiga.
Exactly. So we... These are, rather than just saying we're going to do more of the same, we're going to explore some different ideas as well to see how they fit, knowing that, worst case scenario, they'll make a fantastic extra. So we are sort of like trying to push the envelope a bit and you know, try and, as ourselves as filmmakers, try to, you know, as a game developer. A game developer, I mean, for example, we've just released the making of Jet Set Willy today to our existing backers. And, you know, what one of the things that comes across is Matthew Smith is saying about how he tried to do new things in Jet Set Willy after the success of Manic Miner. One of them being the infinite death loop, which wasn't his intention. you know, we actually had somebody capture that, which is quite funny. Another tangent.
You must be pleased, though, the way that the funding started for the Amiga years as well, though, because it's had... I mean, throughout the board, the reviews from Bedrooms has been absolutely fantastic. And so, of course, that has helped generate more interest in the fundraising for this. And you've had a great first week of fundraising, too.
Oh, it blew our socks off.
You know what?
We were like, oh, my God, we're so amazed by how quickly the target rose.
But you think... Oh, everybody hates From Bedrooms to Billions. No one's going to back us. It's never going to happen. It's going to hang around. It's going to, you know, fall 10K short. What we really want, we launched some stretch goals today. What we actually want to do, we're not going to do another campaign. It's one campaign, very, very straightforward. If you're a fan of the Amiga and you want to see, you know, a definitive film on the Amiga, and then basically back the campaign, because we want to raise as much budget as we can so that we can go in and actually really research and try and license as much archive footage as possible. It all costs most. The most expensive part of the documentary is the archive, and there's a lot more archive footage for the Amiga than there was for From Bedrooms to Billions in the early, you know, the early 80s.
That
was
hard to find. As well,
exactly. So the more budget we can raise, quite simply, the better film we can do, because simply those hard costs which we can't avoid, as I said, with archive, that's why what we've done with the stretch goals, we've said, look, we've got the initial 50, but if we can raise 60, we'll do another half an hour. If we can raise 70, we'll do another half an hour. We might as well try and fill the disc up. Mm. And we're not necessarily saying the film will be more than 90 minutes, but as we
It'll fit
2.5 hours on a disc, rather than just doing 90 minutes, why don't we fill up that whole disc? And if people want to see even more, we'll fill a second disc. And it really comes down to how much they really want to see. And that's why we've said, look, that's what we want to do. Ultimately, where we're at our best, well, that was sounding big-headed, where we feel we're at our best is where we're able to be free to make the content. You know, we'll shoot the interviews, we'll do the hard work, and we'll research every piece of archive we can find. We'll look for every possible still, magazine image. That's what we do. We enjoy doing that, but it all comes at a price. So we can... The more we can raise in this, we've got 3 weeks left, the more we can raise, the more people that come in and pre-order a copy of the film. And it does have an exclusive Oliver Frey cover. We never repeat that again. You know, as we did with From Bedrooms to Billions, anybody that's got one of the Oliver Frey covers, they're going to be pretty rare in a few years. They're the ones they can say, you've only got that one because you backed it, you backed the original campaign. And we love our new one, the black one, we call it, with our son sitting at Matthew Smith ZX Spectrum. It's our son, the back of our son, surrounded by what looks like a shot from Star Trek The Motion Picture. or Close Encounters, however you want to call it. But, we're very pleased and love that cover. But the Oliver Frey cover was what started the whole thing off, 5 years ago. And basically that people know that when they back the original Kickstarter a couple of years ago, that cover won't ever be repeated. So that's what we want to do with the Amiga Years. You'll get a copy of that Amiga Years cover that's designed by Oliver Frey. And once the campaign ends, at some point when the film's going to be coming out, we're going to change the cover. So there'll be a different cover. Little things like that, which we like to sort of make sure that backers know that we're trying to treat them with as much respect as possible. But I'm not putting the thing out on sale after they've gone and backed it and it's got all the same things.
Yeah.
I do like the Oliver Frey artwork. We're blown away by that.
Stunning, yeah. What's one of the biggest lessons that you've learned from making From Bedrooms, you know, that you'll take into making the Amiga Years? What's something that you think, well, I could perhaps do that differently, or, oh, that was good, I'll do that again? Is there anything in particular?
That's a very, very good question. I think to expect hard work, yeah. And I'm not just saying that, and, you know, game designers that love their profession, they don't shy away from the hard work. That's what the fun. That really, if you enjoy what you do, you don't mind that part of it. And I think what we found with From Bedrooms to Billions is genuinely, when we finished the film, we had nothing left to give it. Really, we were in that very rare exclusive position, and game designers don't often get that themselves, where we were actually able to give it everything we could give it and know that at the end it was done. While people could debate it should have included this or it needed to include that, we were at a point where we had nothing left creatively to give it, and it would have probably only gone backwards. We look at it and pull it to bits, you know, and think, but we were very proud of every frame of the film. And we tried to make it so that it was as rich and nostalgic and immersive and all these other things as possible. So I think with the Amiga Years, if there's one thing that we've learned from the previous film, is to not change that ethic and make sure that, you know, if we're going to do a sequence on the demo scene or on a particular series of development or the journalists and everything else, we make that section fantastic so that people think, yeah, it's on this or it's on that. They've clearly put everything they can into it.
We did sit there quite a few times when we were looking at sequences and go, oh, that's not good enough. No, we never sat there and thought, oh, we'll just
bung that out.
So we do, you know, it won't, we'll sit there and think, no, that's not good enough, we'll need to go off and do this, we need more archive, we need this interview and that. So
it probably makes us a bit slow.
Yeah.
You know, we don't sort of bung stuff out, you know.
We're quite thorough with things. We like to think we are, anyway.
It's good as well, because you mentioned the stretch goals that you recently put up for the Amiga years, and I sincerely hope you hit every single one of them, because all the extras makes such a difference, because I watched the DVD of From Bedrooms, loved every minute of it, and I know you, Chris, you're going through the special edition Blu-ray at the moment, aren't you? And
yeah.
You're just lapping up at everything that's on there.
It's wonderful. It really is, you know. It's just, yeah. I sometimes feel like I'm lost for words when I talk about it, because it's just such a wonderful project. And I do, like Dave, I sincerely hope you do make it. And, like, you know, what a wonderful week you've had so far. And just, you know, hopefully it'll roll on to week two. You'll get twice as much as you have in week one.
I think that's the thing about crowdfunding. You never know for sure. You sort of think, maybe there's only 900 Amiga fans out there. I'm not being sarcastic when I say that. You just look at it and think, you know, maybe, and you in the back of your mind, you think, that can't be true. It can't be true. But you also have to look at it and think, you've got to tell, you've got to somehow get the message out to the other Amiga fans and everything else. And it's, you know, that's what you hope, is that the message is going to get out there in the next 3 weeks, that there's these two guys from London, guy and a girl.
Secrets out.
Yeah. I'm female. That are trying to do this, that are going to do this film on the Amiga, well, at the moment trying to do the film on the Amiga. Hopefully, you know, we get funded. Let's get behind it.
Yeah.
And see, hopefully they'll do something really special.
You mentioned magnetic fields earlier on. I have to say, you know, Lotus Turbo Challenge and Supercars 2, amazing games. I mean, who are your? Have you got any particular favourites of that sort of time? I mean, there's so many to talk about, but any particular developers or games that you particularly want to focus on or talk about?
I don't think at the moment I can really sort of say what specific games or what we want to cover in that respect. And that's not trying to be evasive in any way. I think it's you know, there are certain standout titles that Nicola and I play, but that doesn't mean, you see, because we played certain games, that means they should get more status in the film or anything else like that. Because again,
story,
it then becomes
it?
Our opinion, and
yeah.
That, you know, it's not about our opinion in a funny sort of way. It's about what the balanced opinion is. But you know, we were huge when Nicola and I first started going out in 1990. The first thing that she was playing was Kickoff,
I
had Hostages and. I mean, that was the thing. Once we got into the Amiga, it was Speed to Another World was probably a jaw dropper for us.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I mean, I remember that being a big deal, huge deal for us. And it was the first game where I actually genuinely felt that it was an interactive movie.
Yeah,
definitely.
Genuinely felt that I was watching the start of a film. So when the character, I'm trying to remember, is it Jay? Begins with Jay, the character, isn't it? The lead character in it.
Oh, I just remember he gets out of the car, he goes up in the lift, the can sort of like blows across the floor. Incredible.
Do you know what? One of the most intuitive things about that game is that when you appear underwater and then you've got the desk, it's absolute class that. And then you've got no idea what to do, so you just push up on the joystick and you swim up. And I always remember, like, for the first time thinking, that's fantastic. There's no. And I'm not trying to sort of say, oh, the old games are better, but nowadays you'd have a little X flashing on the screen or something like that to show you what to do. And I always remember just, you know, and I didn't die. I imagine there was a few people out there on Another World that did drown or got pulled down by the tentacle because they just sat there in the water and didn't quite know what to do. But I just remember thinking at that time, being so impressed by how intuitive it was. So, you know, we're going to do our best to get Eric in the film. You know, there's developed Another World and other people like that, because those games were just class, absolute class. And I played it recently, actually, on the PS4.
Mm-hmm.
Kept skipping between the reskinned version and the old one. But it was, you know, it's still fantastic. But there were some absolutely, truly fantastic games, which we want to explore how the games industry sort of upped the ante and went through it. But of course, the other thing is not to forget is we want to explore how the Amiga was developed. And at the same time, funny enough, how that knocked onto the development of the Atari ST, because the Atari ST was put together very, very quickly. Very quickly. You know, to make sure that there was a competing machine. So it's, you know, it was quite an amazing story about how that hardware actually was developed and released in the mid-1980s. And, of course, the other element of the story about what happened to Commodore. Yeah. You know, fantastic machine. What went wrong? What happened? What really happened? You know, so we can sort of cover this because that's a really amazing era, that 85 to about 94, 95 era. We can focus just on that decade, whereas obviously in From Bedrooms to Billions, we had to sort of be respectful of the fact that we said it's the overall story of the British games, so we had to look at 30 years.
Mm. I mean, this has been great because people listening to this can obviously hear your passion for the subject, you know, and this is not going to be a documentary that's made by people for the money, you know what I mean? This is obviously now this is made by people who have got a deep passion for video games and that era of gaming, and this is, you know, people listening to this is why you should fund this project, because it's not often you get documentaries made by people who have such passion for what they're making the film about.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think so. I mean, we are in a lucky position in that respect that we were given the time and the budget to make the original. So that's all we'll do with the new one.
And that is the nice thing about crowdfunding is, I think, like you said, Anthony said earlier, that you can basically make what you want to make. You know, if we were doing this through TV and that, we would be kind of guided as to what we can and can't do. Mm-hmm. So we've got that freedom, and that's what we really enjoy with it. And we also really enjoy the fact that when we do these campaigns, how we can kind of talk to our backers, and that we enjoy that. It's really good fun, and a lot of people will write to us and suggest things, and we get some really good suggestions, and we encourage people to keep doing that. You know, we like that. Keeps us going, makes us think there's a world out there.
It really does. There were some real dark times on From Bedrooms to Billions.
Dark times, where suddenly, and the lights,
it's a different film. Actually, he's had a bit of an accident, didn't he?
Yes.
There was a rumour floating around today that with Harrison Ford, somebody pointed at the plane and said, "You came here in that thing. You're braver than you look." Quoting Star Wars, and he was stretching off. I haven't heard it confirmed, but if that happened, it was like, he didn't laugh. I wonder why.
He was unconscious at the time.
Leading Ford, for some reason, didn't laugh at the joke. Yeah. No, our backers, we actually genuinely feel really sort of fiercely protective of them because they've given us that freedom. So it's almost like it's a, you know, somebody writes to us, you know, we really feel compelled to write back as quickly as we can, and you know, somebody's asking us a question about something, or they want a new digital link or something like that. We feel really sort of precious about making sure. And it's not just saying that, it's just they've given us that. We feel so lucky that they've been able to support us, because obviously the original story of From Bedrooms to Billions, we couldn't get the film funded. We couldn't get what was originally conceived as a television series and then a film. We couldn't get it funded by anybody in sort of standard, you know, commercial financial circles. And obviously crowdfunding, the film wouldn't have been possible, but perhaps it wouldn't have been as good a film if it had been funded in sort of traditional means. You know, who knows? Probably wouldn't have been. We would have had a paymaster that would have told us ultimately what they wanted to see and other things, and might have ordered cuts and other things. So that's, again, another thing about crowdfunding. It can sort of...
It's that freedom.
It gives you that freedom. You know, you just got to make sure that you put the work in.
Yeah. You know, which you obviously do. I mean, you know, all the work that you put into From Bedrooms, it paid off in spades, definitely.
Thank you.
Yeah, they're working. Yeah, we had a few sleepless nights.
Well, listen, I know you've had like such a long day today, haven't you? And we're so grateful for you to join us tonight and talking about this. But of course, on the website will be all the links for how people can go and help to fund this great documentary. Which we're sure will reach the goal, and hopefully, like we said, we want it to reach all the stretch goals too. We want as much as possible to be, even though it's going to make more work for you, I'm sorry, but we want it. You know, that's just how it is.
And I'll tell you something else as well. We're very, very open for there to be active debates about what people want to see in it. We're not saying that we're playing sort of, you know, we're going to sort of we're not trying to sort of say that, oh, we don't have a clue and we need to see examples, but it's always nice. We got a lot of that on From Bedrooms to Billions, where people would sort of debate and tweet and talk about, because our Twitter handle is @FromBedrooms. So people would sort of like passionately explain why they would like to see something in the film or something like that, and we like to see that, and we do try to respond where we can. And it's nothing wrong with having a debate. We're in that early. Well, we haven't been funded yet. I don't mean to keep saying that, but I don't want to be too presumptuous. But we are in that early pre-production period where we're trying to absorb as much information as possible, because you've got to sort of almost pretend you know nothing to try and come at it from a really fresh perspective. So we are in that sort of mode at the moment. So we're very, very happy. Please go on to Kickstarter and put ideas. If there's things that you feel passionate about, put it on there.
Well, it'd be good. Hopefully, the next time that we chat to you, and we'll have like the From Bedrooms to Billions special with you, you'll be able to tell us about, you know, how all the stretch goals have been released. You've started filming the Amiga years, so it'll be good to catch up on both again.
That'll be wonderful.
That'd be brilliant. Yes.
Thank you very much indeed.
That's all right. Well, hopefully you're going to get some chance to relax for the rest of the evening. I'm sure you're ready for it, aren't you now?
I think we are. Yeah. Yes. Might even be a takeaway tonight.
I don't blame you. Don't be cooking anything. Don't go in the kitchen. All right, well, Anthony, Nicola, thank you so much for joining. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's
all right. We'll talk to you again soon.
Take care.
Bye-bye then.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Chris, your excitement level, I know, was high before we recorded this evening, wasn't it?
I
think your excitement level's even higher now, after we finished.
It is. I'm buzzing. I'm watching From Bedrooms again, and this is the second time round. I've watched the extras on it, and it's such a wonderful movie. Honestly, it really is, and it's just, I just want to talk about it even more. You know, I want to talk to people about it. I want to tell people about it and the new projects. And speaking to Nicola and Anthony, you know, they just seem such nice people. Genuinely, just love what they do, and you can sense in their voices the sort of the love that they've got for computer games, video games, for this project that they've got going. And I can't wait to talk to them again. You know, I was holding back as much as I possibly could. I just wanted to talk more about From Bedrooms and sort of like, well, I didn't want to gush too much. I probably sounded like I did, to be honest with you. But, well, hey, it's amazing. So, but, you know, they just seem like such nice people, and wanted to thank them. Hopefully they'll get a chance to listen back to this and thank them for their time, because, you know, they've got so much going on at the moment, and for them to spare their sort of valuable time talking to us was incredible.
Oh, it was. I mean, they've had like a crazy busy day today with everything that's been going on. And much like yourself, mate, you know, I watched From Bedrooms and I was just lapping it up. And like you said when we were talking to them, it just took me back to that certain stage in my life. And with watching it, I sat with Tina watching it. I was going, oh my God, I remember. I had that. I remember playing that, and I did this, and I was doing that. And it was just taking you back to magical moments in your life. And then not only that, you were finding out so much more to do with these games and these machines and the people behind the games as well that you didn't know. And it was just like, oh, this is just incredible. And then when they announced the Amiga years, because the Amiga is like one of my all-time favourite computers that I had, like I mentioned when we were talking to Anthony and Nicola, I had like the A500 and the 1200. And it was the first computer that I used to do graphics for filmmaking, because there was a bunch of us used to meet up every weekend and make films. And we used the Amiga. I forget the name. I should know it off by heart. The name of the program that we used. And we'd do like CG graphics at the start and everything with it. Very crude looking back on it now. But for the time, it was like, I remember showing somebody a film we made and we'd put these CG graphics in. And people were going like, holy shit, this is amazing. Yeah. It's as though they'd seen like Terminator 2 for the first time. Because you just couldn't really do that before, and because the Amiga was so versatile in what it did and the amount of programs that were out there to use. It wasn't just you know, a games machine. It was so good at everything, really, whatever you threw at it. Yeah. And again, you know, kids probably listen to this and they think with they may well have like smartphones that are more powerful and can do more, but if you take yourself back to that moment in time, it was just such a magical machine. And even now, just thinking about what is going to be in this documentary about the Amiga just blows my mind. I can't just wait to watch it.
Yeah, same here. I mean, it was this, my mum and dad worked Census for so they could buy me an Amiga, basically, you know, and I'll always be grateful to them for that. They sort of, I think they got about 250 quid for doing this, you know, knocking on doors, doing the sort of like the general census that they do every sort of few years or whatever. And for me, the Amiga was my teenage years. It's like, you know, the sort of Spectrum was me as a child, right, experiencing video games or computer games for the first time. That was my childhood to a certain degree. The Amiga was my teenage years. And I know you're a little bit older than me, but that's what it was for me. It was like growing up, and it was like experiencing something totally brand new all over again. So many amazing games. And we touched on a few of them when we talked to Nicola and Anthony. You know, those games, a lot of them still stand the test of time today. You know, if you look at them, sort of Sensible World Soccer, Speedball 2, we talked about Another World, you know, and that's just been brought back to the PS4 and Xbox One. And that tells you something, and it just tells you what an incredible machine it was. Just watching some of the intros to some of those games, it's just incredible, you know. And I'm so excited to watch what they do. And I think if you watch From Bedrooms, it does honestly come across their love and passion for what they talk about. And I embrace that wholeheartedly, because you can get very cynical about the games industry these days and everything that it is. And I do my best to try and avoid all that sort of stuff. But even just people that I talk to at work, they're very sneery and look down their nose at you sometimes, think, oh, you play computer games, what's wrong with you? Haven't you grown up yet? And I just think, you know what? The people that, you know, Anthony and Nicola, they're the people that I want to hang out with. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sort of like, and that, just talking to them for sort of like, you know, half an hour or so, just I want to talk so much to them about, you know, just their love of games. Just talk about games. I don't even, not necessarily about sort of like From Bedrooms. Obviously we will, but I just want to talk to them about games because they're so cool. You know, they know their stuff, and they obviously just got such a love for the what they do and the industry in terms of, and the history of it all. I love all that sort of stuff. So more please, definitely.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I've been playing like video games since the 70s. And it amazes me that even, you know, like 40 odd years on from then, it's still got this stigma for being like a kid's hobby. It's something that kids do. When you think, you know, people like, you know, ourselves that have been playing video games for, you know, 40 odd years, 30 odd years, we've grown up with them, and we can, why should we stop doing what we enjoy doing? Absolutely. Are you going to go, well, oh, I'm a certain age now, I can't do that? If you enjoy doing it, you enjoy doing it. It's such an escape from reality. And it's also, I mean, there's the old thing, they go, oh yeah, it's good for hand-eye coordination and this, that and the other. But there are definite benefits to video gaming, but it's just that whole escape from the real world and immersing yourself into it and just having fun. What's wrong with having fun? No matter, you know, it's so real good. And the fact that they document it in From Bedrooms, and now they've got the Amiga years coming. And what do you think about the making of Jet Set Willy that they told us about as well? How about that one?
Well, that's the other thing, like you mentioned, because I just played the games when I was a kid. You know, I wasn't particularly interested in who made them. And to a certain degree, I'm the same now. You know, I just enjoy playing the games. But learning about Matt Smith and how fame affected him, you know, and what was 16 years old, I think he was, when Manic Miner. And you just think, at 16 years old, you've created, in some ways, a phenomenon, you know, that's what it was. And then going on to Jet Set Willy. Jet Set Willy, I'm not kidding you, I can't even dare to think how many hours I spent playing that game. And I played it recently, and it is brutal. And God knows, I mean, I never completed that game because there was that game-breaking bug in it. You know, if you went into a certain room, that was it. It was instant death. I have that music embedded in my brain. I have that foot coming down and stamping on my head, you know, when you die and lose all your lives, embedded in my brain. I have that sort of like that going into Maria's room and her, as you got closer, because she prevents you from getting into bed, sort of, and slowly that arm raising and pointing and telling, and she's like, nope. Nope, you're not getting any closer. I don't care how slowly you walk, you are not getting to this bed. And just thinking, wow. But so incredible. It really is, you know, just love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, it sounds like we've got the Amiga years coming. We've got Jet Set Willy. It's who knows what else, what other projects they've got in mind that we could have to look forward to.
Yeah. Please, I genuinely, I mean, I'm not going to wait until we talk to them again because we don't know exactly when that will be. It could be next week. It could be next month. It could be in 6 months' time, but hopefully soon rather than later. But I genuinely want to say to people, if you have an interest in video games, even if you don't necessarily, please watch From Bedroom to Billion. Please buy it, because, and please fund the Amiga years. You know, if you have any doubt about the Amiga years and think, oh, I don't want to back a Kickstarter because you don't know what they're going to do, because people, you know, are dubious about Kickstarters sometimes, just watch From Bedrooms to Billions, and that will hopefully convince you that you are putting your money in safe hands, because what they did with that film, in my mind, you know, it's a masterpiece. It really is, and it speaks to me on so many different levels. So please check that out, and please fund the Amiga years.
Yes, please fund it. Just second what you say there, mate. You know, I really do hope they hit the target and everything else beyond that. Let's get as much footage as we can from this and find out as much more. You know, the special edition with all the extras on it is just going to be so, so good. And it's one of these, like From Bedrooms, you said you watched it twice already. It's not a documentary that you're going to watch once and put away. It really has got so much repeat viewing to it that you just pick up on stuff every time.
Yeah. And yeah, it's... Yeah, you know what I think about it.
Well, everybody will know what you think about it soon, mate, because your review will be on the website this weekend as we talk. It will. And if you're listening to this and you're wondering, well, where can I read Chris's review? All you have to do is go online, go to 60minuteswith.co.uk, and it will be on there. Also, if you want to get in touch with the show, you can email us, contact@60minuteswith.co.uk. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/60minuteswith. That's the numerical 60, not alphabetical. The same on Twitter, @60minuteswith. You, Chris, can also follow you on Twitter too.
You can, @dastardlyjabby.
And yeah, hopefully you and me, mate, will return with another chat quite soon to Anthony and Nicola, catch up on how the Amiga years went, and delve deep into From Bedrooms as well. How about that?
Oh, I love that. Cannot wait.
That'll be great. So, Chris, thanks for joining me again, mate. It's been really good recording this with you tonight.
In pleasure.
And thank you for listening, whoever you are, wherever you are. Thank you very much. Please subscribe, spread the word. iTunes reviews are always most welcome. And we will be back with another show very, very soon. Thank you.